listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
We are about to enter into a unique season as a church. Not only is it coming into a season time-wise, that is our calendar, but I think there is a hunger that is being ramped up in Grace Harbor for the Lord. You don't realize that what goes on all through the course of this week or a month at church. We have a lot of things going on through the course of the week. Ben shared with me some of the things that are happening in Dwelling Place, the gathering of young adults in Grace Harbor. It just excites me to see that happening, to see what God is doing in our corporate gatherings, the impartation of God's anointing in these services, and the belief that God can do amazing things. So many reports of miraculous intervention. I'm excited for that. This month of June, up and coming, is so good to see you, Joel. It's great to see you, Joel. And I've asked Joel to speak in the month of June, and he's doing everything in his power to make that happen. And how many love Joel? How many want to hear what he has to say? Come on, thank you, Joel, for your investment in this church. Speaking of investment, I want to introduce you to opportunities to give. So here are some of those. You can give your tithes, your offerings, and the reception box that is in the foyer of the church. You can do that today. You can send in your giving. You can actually text in your giving, or you can go to the website and do that electronically as well. Thank you for what you're doing to make this house so effective in Grace Harbor. God has put it on our hearts, not only to tread water, but to advance the kingdom of God. So thank you for what you do. Take your Bibles this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about the secret place, which is spoken of in God's Word. Actually, this is a topic that is very near and dear to my own heart. That is the secret place. Or can we call it the presence of God? I love the presence of God. Anybody here love God's presence? I love God's presence. I like to be in the presence of God. I like to hang with Him. It's kind of like this. In many ways, if you've got a good friend or your spouse and you just love doing things together, whether it's riding in a car or whether it's just hanging out, you just enjoy being in their presence. You enjoy doing things with them. Being in the presence of God is somewhat like that. It requires, however, some things of us. First of all, we need to be very, very honest with ourselves when we embrace the presence of God. Here's something you need to know. Our top priorities. How many have some things that are important to you in your life? Okay, hear me out. Our top priorities are not just what we say they are, but they are those things to which we give ourselves. We can talk all we want, but how many know our actions speak louder than our words? That's very important. Check on your actions. That's critical in the journey into the presence of God. So, where we invest our time, where we invest our money, our energy, and our thoughts, that's huge when you consider the secret place or God's presence. Jesus told us in his Sermon on the Mount, wherever our treasure is, he said, there's where our heart will be as well. I'll never, ever allow that passage to escape my thinking. That is huge. That's very critical in our pursuits of the kingdom of God. It is a good thing to regularly re-examine our schedules. I do this on a regular basis. Can I say that I examine my schedule daily? I've got a kind of this approach. A daily schedule, my weekly schedule, my monthly schedule, and my quarterly schedule, and my yearly schedule. I check those each and every day and week to make sure that my life is plotting according to God's order for me. Schedules are important. Our budgets, what we spend our money on, that's huge, that's important. Our hearts will reveal where our priorities are. That is to see if our lifestyles line up with our stated values and goals. Sometimes the reality of that is not so pretty, but it is the only way that we can improve. That is by seeing the ways and areas where we need to make necessary adjustments. Here's what I want you to do. Jot this down in your notes, if you would. Right priorities bring peace and clarity to the rest of our life. Can I say that again? Right priorities bring peace and clarity to the rest of our lives. Often, very often, many things in our lives are out of sorts or not working the way that we had hoped. And it may be that we need to go back and put first things first. Make an adjustment. If we can get rightly related to the Lord and to his kingdom, he's going to show us his direction, his order for our life, and life then begins to make sense from God's perspective. So in the process, he will give us a peace, the Bible says, that passes all understanding and transcends all circumstances. I want to turn you to a specific passage in God's Word, because this is where I want to spend the bulk of our time today. It's Psalms chapter 27. This scripture declares that there is such a place to be achieved in God, known as the presence of God. And I want to take the time to read a few verses, actually the first five verses of Psalms chapter 27. So would you track with me? Whatever version you're using, I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version. And it simply says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Is he? Is the Lord your light? Is he your salvation? The scripture asks, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, David said, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Let me do a pause there. If you go to Psalms chapter 23, that psalm ends this way. David said that he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dwelling in the house of the Lord is tantamount to seeking his presence, being in his presence. So if you look at this verse, David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What an attitude, what a heart, what a position to put yourself in, that you want to immerse yourself in the presence of God all day long. Isn't that special? That's David's heart speaking to us. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple. For in the time of trouble, that's huge. I said a little earlier, some of you were finding yourself in a place of fire and difficulty this week. I reminded you, and did as well, that the Lord Jesus is with you, like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Can I take you to this verse again? For in the time of trouble, he, Jesus, will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place. And I want us to get to the secret place before we're done today. He will hide us in the secret place of his tabernacle, and he shall hide me, and he shall set high upon a rock. He shall set us on that place of security. I want you to know here in this psalm, David understands from personal experience that there are going to be times of trouble in our lives. He went through a little bit of that. Can I be as bold to ask you this morning? Anybody going through some trouble? Don't lift your hand. But I think you know in your heart of hearts, if you're honest, what trouble may be looking like for you. But he says here that we can daily dwell, even through our troubles, we can dwell daily in God's presence, and doing so prepares us for times of trouble. That is, a right relationship with Jesus sets our life on a rock. It puts us in a spiritual place of safety, of stability, and gives us a kingdom perspective of what's going on around us. So we see in this psalm, David, he set his face toward God. As a pastor, many, many times I have the opportunity to counsel and work with people. And sometimes I would hope that people could get to me before they make decisions in their life that could be catastrophic. Doesn't always happen that way. But if I could speak kingdom into the lives of people before catastrophic decisions are made, it could avert some problems and some difficulties and some struggles. I would say that it's significantly important for us to set our face toward the Lord, toward his word, toward his values, and make life choices in keeping. David sought the Lord with all of his heart. That's what we learned from this song. And the Lord met him, and what's still further, He delivered him. How many know that's a good thing for us to experience God in such a way in our life? Above all else, David desired to be in a right relationship with the Lord. Here in Psalms chapter 27, David describes the Lord in three ways in his life. Let me give them to you. He sees the Lord as his light. What's so special about light? Well, in darkness, we stumble around. Sometimes we don't make the right decisions in the darkness, and we pay the consequences for that. This little boot that I wear, when I first got this boot, it freed me up from a plaster cast, and that was a good thing. But the doctor said that I need to wear this even when I sleep. It's become my friend, this boot. Why would I wear this boot when I sleep? He said this: you could be coming out of a deep sleep and forget you have a problem with your leg. If you needed to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, sometimes the urgency of the moment takes over and you might make a colossal mistake. And I don't want to be repairing a problem that is unnecessary. So wear the boot through the night. Kind of like this boot through the night. It represents the fact that we can turn the light on, make right decisions, and not take awkward or bad steps that create problems down the way. So David is identifying the fact that the Lord is his light. Number two, the Lord is his salvation. I mean, that's good. He is the one that keeps us from eternal consequences that would be bad in our life. Thirdly, he is our strength. Some of us have to shed this machonism of our life. We think we can do this all by ourselves. Thank you. And by the way, how many know the Lord has ways of teaching us we can't fix things all by ourselves? We need others, and we need him to intervene in our life. The Lord is our strength. And because of this, David says, we need not be afraid. You can go forward in life without fear. David understood that rightly relating to God is a matter of life and death, both naturally and spiritually. David did not want to do anything that would remove him from God's presence. I've read a lot of the Bible in the recent months, weeks. I sat down and I read the Psalms in about 2 days, 3 days at the most. But pondering those Psalms as I've read them, I realized that David, as he penned most of the Psalms, he didn't write them all, but what he did say was that he did not want to be removed from God's presence or the fellowship that he has and treasured with God. I would say that's where we need to find our own lives. Does God's presence mean that much to you? That you don't want anything to violate his presence in your life? David looked at it that way. We should never want to violate anything that or hinder the presence of God. How do we get into the presence of God? David describes this as a secret place, a place where we are hidden or protected from the troubles to come. So where is this place? And how do we get there? I'm glad you're asking. The scripture tells us for sure it's not anything that is built by human hands. Your secret place is not physical. It isn't something that you have created for your life. In fact, David says it's only found in the presence of the Lord. That's the secret place, the presence of the Lord. How important is the presence of God to you, and how do you get in the presence of God, and still further, how do you stay in the presence of God all day long? Are those questions that resonate within your life? So let me address how we enter the presence of the Lord. The Bible offers some keys, lots of keys. I want to give you three keys this morning to entering the presence of God. These are all Bible verses I'm going to give you. I want you to land on these verses. And I want you to absorb them in your life and make application to your life every day. Because this is how God's calling us to live our lives in this season. And if we don't do this, we're out of step with God. How many want to be in sync with God? I certainly do. I don't want my life to be going off in another direction. When God has something beautiful laid out for us, I want to get my life in sync with God. And the best way that we can do that is begin to consider His Word. What is God saying in His Word to us that will break open a pathway into His presence? Well, let me give you the first. The first is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. I need you to look at Hebrews chapter 10. So I read starting at verse number 19. And I'm going to try to show you from this verse how the blood of Jesus is so significant and important to entering the presence of God. What's the Bible have to say about that? Well, here's what the writer says. He says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness, not kind of a weak approach, but having boldness to enter the holiest." How many know that in the tabernacle of Moses, and then fast forward to Solomon's temple, and then again reconstructed in Herod's temple, was a place called the Holy of Holies, which symbolized the very presence of God. The writer Hebrew picks up that idea and says this, "Brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest," hold it there for a moment, in times past, the only one that could go into the holiest was the high priest. But how many remember when Jesus died on the cross? That very moment, at noon hour time, darkness befell the earth. A lot of things started happening right at that moment. Graves started to open. And dead men started walking. Read your Bible. It's there. It's what happened. But this very significant thing took place. There was a curtain that separated the holy place from the holiest place. It was about 8 inches thick. It was a humongous curtain. The Bible says that this curtain was split in two from the top to the bottom, signifying that God now made provision for mankind to come into the holiest place through the sacrificial lamb known as Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful, church? Major, major, major. Look at this Bible verse again. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, how? By the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that gives us access into the presence of God, the holiest place. By a new and living way, which he, Jesus, consecrated for us through the veil. Oh, there we go again. The veil that was rent from top to bottom. That is his flesh. So whereas we saw a physical veil, Jesus' flesh now becomes our sacrifice. And having a high priest, namely he, Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true, this is huge, a new, a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. Sprinkled, cleansed by the blood of Jesus from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Do you get the picture, church? We get to enter the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews tells us that's what happens when Jesus gave his blood for us. We get to get into the presence of God. Number two, I'm going to give you another Bible verse. We're talking about accessing the presence of God, which is the secret place. Let me ask you, how many want to get into that secret place? That place with God, where you can sense and feel, sense and his fullness in your life. Well, here's the second part. I'm giving you three this morning. That's all, just three. Probably more in scripture, but I'm going to give you three. The first is the blood of Jesus applied to our life. Number two, thanksgiving and praise gets you into the secret place. Here's what Psalms 100, chapter 100, two verses, 4 and 5 says. It says, enter into his gates. So as you approach the secret place or the presence of God, you're going to do it in this manner, with thanksgiving. By the way, Thanksgiving isn't something we do the fourth weekend in the month of November. Thanksgiving is a daily practice for us, the redeemed. So we enter into his gates with a grateful heart. We enter into his courts. So you get past the gates with thanksgiving. You get into his courts, his realm, with praise. Scripture says, be thankful to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Can't spend too much time on this, but there are many psalms that address coming into the presence of God. I encourage you to read Psalms 150. It could revolutionize you for how we access and what is our part in coming into the presence of God. You see, the blood of Jesus is something Jesus did. Praise and worship is something that we engage in. Okay? Let me give you the three. And this is huge, because this addresses the matter of attitude. We come into the presence of God, or into that secret place, with an awesome fear of the Lord. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, we're talking about reverence, we're talking about awe, we're talking about obedience. Don't talk to me about all your spirituality if you're not willing to be obedient to Jesus. Because these work hand in hand, glove in hand. Okay? So let me give you some Bible verses. Psalms chapter 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with those, we're talking about the secret place of God, is with those who fear him. That speaks to reverence. You don't come into the presence of God high and mighty. You come humbly. You come with an attitude of reverence. You fear him, and he will show them his covenant. How many want to embrace the covenant of God and walk in that relationship with God? That's how this works. Also, the fear of the Lord, which is an awesomeness of God, is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, according to Proverbs 9:10. Under the Old Covenant, can I tell you a little bit about that? That's the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. It's the foundation for where we find ourselves in the New Covenant. But under the Old Covenant, the blood sacrifices of animals were offered to God as a sign of repentance. But the participants came with deep sorrow for their sins. It was a reminder of the seriousness and the deadly consequences of sin. I read a lot of the Old Testament in the last several weeks. I've told you that. And how God dealt with the sins of Israel. He was not easy on those people for their sin. As a matter of fact, do you realize that God kept Moses out of the promised land? We're talking Moses, church. We're not talking about any old guy here. We're talking about Moses, one of the major players for the Israelites. He keeps Moses out of the promised land because of what? God told Moses to speak to a rock. Moses had a better idea. He took his staff and smote the rock. Just for that, God keeps Moses out of the promised land. So God doesn't wink at our sin, our disobedience. However, in the new covenant, these animal sacrifices that the Israelites participated in, they became obsolete. And Jesus becomes the full expression. And because of Jesus' sacrifice for our sins on the cross, he once and for all paid for the debt that we owed, for the forgiveness of our sins. So because of Jesus, when we come to the Father in his name, we are declared righteous. Now we have access. We have access. We have access into the presence of God. So one way of acknowledging the cross of Christ is through thanksgiving. When we're worshiping here with the worship team and you're lifting your hands and you're worshiping, you're grateful and you're thankful, you're participating in that act of worship. Let me tell you what's going on. You're acknowledging that the cross of Christ is sufficient. Our only response then is to give thanks, to sing praise and overflow with a heart and a spirit of worship. We move from obsession with our own problems, our weaknesses, and our fears into a new perspective of love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. We now enter the secret place. Worship proceeds out of humility and thanks, and we lift high the cross of Christ in our hearts and minds, and we exalt his name and his lordship. I want you to know that pride and rebellion cannot exist in the presence of the Lord. He is, without question, a consuming fire. And that kind of dross is burnt up. It has no place in the secret place. And as we behold him in his beauty of holiness, and we sing of his holiness, we are awestruck. Just like the angels around the throne room of God, they're awestruck with his mightiness. We rightly reverence him and our place in his grace. In other words, we're just so grateful to be there. We're just so grateful. Jeremiah chapter number 29:13 says that we will find him when we seek him with our whole heart. To seek is not to merely passively or carelessly lay around and wish on a star, or clap for Tinkerbell. It doesn't work like that. It means to discard those things which are obscuring our vision, to lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us, to tear down idols that we have constructed, and to relentlessly, passionately pursue his presence, his will, and his kingdom. It's got to be a priority. And we do so until we receive all that he has provided for us as his people. And by faith, we have access to the presence and the peace of God. I want to say, however, we can allow circumstances, and we do, unfortunately, for our own impatience to blind us to our inheritance. And we forget who God is. We forget that we are actually his sons and daughters. We forget what he's done for us. And this leads us down a path of ungratefulness or even rebellion against his word, his way, and his awesome authority. So let me conclude. This is an important message for people such as us that want to engage God. Scripture reminds us that we are raised with Christ and we're now dead to self. our new lives are swept up into his life, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. Can I have your attention? The secret place is not a place gained cheaply or casually. It requires intention. It requires intensity. And by the way, it cost Jesus his life. And for us to enter into it, we must rightly value the life that he gave us. And to dwell implies a long-term commitment, not simply a short-term experience. How many are in this for the commitment and not just for the moment? The secret place is not visible to the natural eye. And if we're earthy in our temperament, we may have difficulty with this. Because the secret place is not visible to the natural eye nor understood by the natural mind. Secret place is the eternal presence of God. And I want to remind you today, the good fruit that it produces in our lives will be visible to all. Where it's not visible to the natural man, people will look on you and say, what is it about you that makes you so different? Oh, I was just in the presence of Jesus. And how many know that changes everything? It changes everything. How it works. Jesus said it this way. There's a level of participation, or a level of, what's the word I'm looking for? Of gratefulness. To whom much has been forgiven. How many know? The woman at the that washed the anointed Jesus' feet with oil. Much was forgiven. So grateful. And it's the same way with us. And I look over this crowd this morning and I see many of you, as I'm sharing this, are so grateful for what Jesus did in your life. It's just coming out of your being. Just grateful, grateful, grateful.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.